Thank you, Father, that you don't come to my level, but your word does, so that I might come up and attain to the place that you've given me. Thank you, Father, that you do not allow me to be content with the world and its ways and what it has to offer, but forever striving, Father, to have what you want for me. I ask and believe that your will be done in my life and all of those that believe what I've just spoken. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Deuteronomy 18:2. We're talking again from the book of Matthew about the therapist that Jesus Christ gave, the vehicle or the vessel by which he heals you. We talked at great length about the therapist and his duties, but now, who is he? How did he happen? Would he just come out of a phone booth somewhere? Go to Deuteronomy 18:1. The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Israel shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among the brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he has said unto them. Now, I don't particularly care whether you like this, but I do care that you understand it. The Bible says that the Lord is their inheritance, speaking to the priests, the Levites, those that he has called to minister. Now, he didn't say you weren't going to get what the Lord wanted you to have. He just said there's going to be an intermediary. I'm going to give the Lord to an individual for his inheritance, and then you get from me through him. The word inheritance means an heirloom, something passed down in a family, valuable, the most valuable thing that a family possesses, and they pass it down from generation to generation. That's what an heirloom means. The most valuable thing that we have is the truth, Jesus Christ. And he's passed down from generation to generation as an inheritance, an heirloom, if you will. The word heirloom, which is the Greek word for inheritance, means any treasured possession handed down from generation to generation. So what he's basically saying, the Lord is their possession. Possession means something that's property, something you own, and something you occupy. Possession means to have as an attribute a quality or a faculty. In other words, if the Lord is my possession, then I'd act like him. Certainly I'd talk like him. And most assuredly, I'd think like him. Now he said, this is the inheritance, the possession of the priests, not of the people. Although he does love you and he's not withholding himself, this is just the way that he did it. And I'll explain why in a minute. So that now we know what the inheritance is. Let's go back to verse 1 and find out who gots it. The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat of the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. So priests are the ones who possess the Lord Jesus Christ. Not for themselves, as you'll see in a minute. So he says, the priests are the ones that inherit the Lord. Now, in order to understand who that be, we need to look up the word priests. Again, from the Hebrew, it means the one who's officiating. Now, again, it doesn't take a whole lot of intelligence for you to come to the conclusion that there's only one of us officiating here. And that's me. Could it be that I'm the priest? Well, according to this definition, yes. Now, before you go off into your own sermon and say, man, this guy really thinks he's something, let me tell you, yes, I do think I'm something. But you don't know what that something is yet. I will tell you the something I am in just a minute. Don't go ahead of me, because I'm going to be something. The word priest means the chief ruler. So the one who officiates is the one who's the chief ruler. The word priest means the principal officer. And the word priest means to mediate in religious services. In other words, the function of the priest is to mediate. It isn't to sit here and look regal and make decisions and tell you how to live your life. It isn't for him to think that he can do no wrong. Plainly and simply, why does he officiate? Why is he the chief ruler? Because he mediates in the religious service. Well, what does that mean? What does mediate mean? What is it this priest guy is supposed to be doing? Mediating. Well, what does mediate mean? To divide. It means to be in an intermediate position. So now, if my job is to divide the word, which is Jesus Christ, and to take it apart to see what it's really all about so that we can understand it, doesn't it follow that as a mediator, I also have to deal the same way with you and take you apart and see what makes you tick? Oh, you don't mind me telling you all about Jesus. It's all about yourself you don't want to know. You're evil. Not because you do wrong, because you deny it. It's wicked to deny that you're wrong. It's wicked and evil to assume that you've done no wrong. The wrong is not my concern. It's your lying about it. And the reason that you'll never come to a realization of your wrong is you refuse to let me be in the intermediate position. You barely tolerate me dividing the word, much less you. Mediate means to be an intermediary or conciliator between persons. Oh, you'll accept me as a conciliator between persons as soon as the argument gets to the point where you think you're right. Oh, you might jab at your husband and nag him and whatever, and just a day might take you a day, two. You say nothing. Jab and nab, jab and jab, jab and nab. Sooner or later, he loses his cool, idiot that he is, and he'll say or do something mean to you, and you're a blue streak for the phone. Got him now. Now I need a conciliator. Well, why? Because we're now at the point in the discussion where you're right. So the minute we get on the phone, the conciliator knows that the one that calls is the one who's now looking the best in terms of where the argument is. So immediately they say, you know what he did? No, but you're going to tell me, aren't you? I don't really want to know what he... What did you do? Well, but he, what did you do? And then when I talk with him, he doesn't want to talk about now that he slapped your face. He wants to talk about all the things you did to lead him up to slapping your face. So see, you're fighting the same arguments, but in different dimensions. And I'm playing like a Scotty type individual, trying to beam you where you're both, so that you can both be in the same place at the same time. But because you're the depressed individuals that you are, you say, beam me down, Scotty. Do everything backwards. Mediate means to be the medium for communicating information. plainly and simply, the medium for communicating this information happens to be these microphones and these black boxes that'll sit there with no intelligence as long as we leave them there. Those are the medium. So how could I think, how would you imagine that I'm egotistical and think I'm something special when I've just admitted I'm as essential here as those black boxes? It just kind of takes away all your arguments, doesn't it? Oh, you would love it if it were me doing the talking. But you see, if it isn't the Lord Jesus Christ turning me on, I'll sit there looking stupid just like those boxes from now on. At least they have a red eye in the middle there. I don't even have that. Now, what is the purpose of the mediator, the intermediary, the priest? His purpose is to conciliate. Conciliate means to bring together. Well, wait a minute. I thought he was supposed to divide you a minute ago. Well, he was. See, when you fix something, you have to take it apart. It's wrong. So you take it apart first, and then you put it back together. So you see, first I got to take you apart and then put you back together. You don't want to be taken apart. Conciliate means not, see, if I can't bring you and you together so that you and you are happy with you, then how in the hell am I ever going to bring you and your husband together? You can't even stand you. Quite frankly, I can understand why. Now he says these conciliators, these mediators, their job is to take it apart so they can put it back together again. And they come specifically from the tribe of Levi. Well, that would imply that you're born into it. Only to the degree that if you are a firstborn male, you belong to the Lord and you are set aside for his service, period. Now, that doesn't mean everyone fulfills that. That just means that's your calling in life. Firstborn male. Not the first male born, firstborn who's a male. If you have sisters older than you, hang it up, Jack. Your calling is somewhere else. The sacrifice for the Lord was the firstborn male. I didn't say that. He did. Now, I certainly had nothing to do with the fact that I am a firstborn and a male. I had nothing to do with that. Any more than you have anything to do with the fact that you're not. But that isn't why I'm a priest. And incidentally, if you're not a firstborn male, God will make allowances. And if he calls you, he can use you in whatever capacity. But I'll tell you one thing, if you're a firstborn male, you've lost it if you're doing something else. And I don't necessarily mean it has to be done from behind the pulpit either. But now he said these priests will come from the tribe of Levi. The word Levi is a very interesting word. It's where we get Levite and Levitical and the book of Leviticus. But not the pants some of you wear that are too tight, that are choking you and causing high blood pressure in the lower regions. Not those Levites. The word Levi means attached. The tribe of the attached. Not the detached. The attached. Attached to what? Well, to God, of course. To understand the implication of this, we need to know what the word attached means. It means to be connected by ties of affection. It means to be appointed by authority or order. See, it has nothing to do with how much you love the Lord and how much you'd like to do this. It has nothing to do with that. What it has to do is to be appointed by authority or order. You really have no choice in the matter. Most people that I know that are trying to do something they're not called to do are like Saul of Tarsus. And they walk around answering questions nobody asked, fighting for the Lord Jesus Christ, for God Almighty, by sending Christians to the lions. Seemed to me this man didn't know what the hell he was doing. Now, does that mean God couldn't use him? No, it doesn't. It just means he had to knock him off his white horse before he could. He had to appoint him by authority and order. And let me tell you something else. When you're appointed of God, you'll have nothing to do with being brought into the ministry, and everybody and their grandmother will try to take you out. And they won't succeed. Just happened to me. One day I was in the ministry. I said, what happened? And then the minute I got into the ministry, I said, well, not everybody loves preachers. Well, I'm going to get invited to Sunday dinner here and there and everywhere. Yes, but I was on the menu. However, those of you self-appointed, self-righteous, egotistical idiots who want to be but are not called or appointed, the world will readily accept you. Why? Because God didn't send you, that's why. It isn't that God doesn't have a place for you, it's just not that place. Well, isn't that mean of God? I don't think so. You have your apartment and I have mine. It would be mean of God if he only gave us one apartment. That would be mean. You got yourn and I got mine. I mean, what's wrong with that? Well, the problem is you're childish. And the things that your parents give you, you never want. You want what everybody else has. You still haven't grown up. So these men that are called are attached by authority and by order. They're appointed. Now jump down to verse 5, and I'll show you something very important. Should probably cause some of you to turn in your robes, never again to wear them again. For the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all the tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. The Lord thy God has chosen him. Not chosen him in terms of this him or that him. The Lord thy God has chosen the him. Not you, not me. I didn't choose me, you didn't choose me. I didn't even choose you. The Lord thy God hath chosen him. Well, that sounds like God plays favorites, because some people say, oh, yes, I'm chosen of the Lord. Let me talk with you just a few minutes, thou fool, and let me see if you are chosen of the Lord. The word chosen comes from the Hebrew that has three definitions: select, to try, and to join. So the preacher can always say, God has selected me, and that's true. Select means chosen in preference to others. I say, well, Lord, it's about time I get to preach something that doesn't make me the end of the doo-doo line here. Chosen in preference to others. I like that. To be picked from among many others for excellence and desirability. I like that too. Picked out for some special quality. I said, wow, I am selected. I have a special quality. I'm desirable and excellent. For what? To try. That's the next one. Well, what does to try mean? To subject to trials or annoyance. That explains you. See, my special quality, my desirability, my excellence is that he's taught me to put up with the trials and annoyance that you represent. In other words, he says, you have an excellent quality. I can use you for a doodle bag. A barf bag is what I can use you for. Thanks a lot, my Lord and my God. It's a good thing you have all the lightning in this world. I might just tell you what I think of that. No, not really. But you see, before you are tried, after you're chosen, the trial always comes. One of my favorite songs is that B.J. Thomas song some of you sing here. What's the name of it? He gave me time, he gave me some, gave me love. Every time I hear that song, it reminds me of how I came into the ministry. Yeah, he gave me time when no one else would give me the time of day. People had written me off. I was nothing, a failure, two-time failure. And now without a job, 1,500 miles from home. Yeah, nobody else would give me the time of day. And nobody gave me a prayer either, by the way. So then Jesus called me to try me. The first part of the definition of the word try means to preside as judge at the trial of an individual or person. Yeah, I had to go to trial. I had to come to grips with the fact that I was where I was at because I was guilty of being stupid, among other things. And I had to come to grips with the fact that I could blame no one else for where I was, in spite of the fact that I was well-educated, well-experienced, and thoroughly hated. I came to grips with the fact that I was guilty. The next part of the definition is to determine legally the guilt or the innocence. So the first thing he did is took me to trial. Then he determined legally my guilt. And then I start getting subjected to trials and annoyance. There for a while, I thought people were being paid to try to think of ways to throw me out of the ministry. They came from everywhere. No matter what I did, that was a reason to throw me out of the ministry. And some of these people were quite formidable, by the way. One man had been a preacher for over 30 years. Another one had just gotten out of Bible college, very well educated, he thought. And then there was about eight of them all together. And they all decided that they belonged in the ministry and I didn't. And I said, well, if you can move me, go ahead. God put me here, and he's the only one that can take me out. And if you have his permission, take me out. But I don't quit for nothing or nobody. To make a long story short, one of the men passed away. The rest of them are carpenters and salesmen and God knows what all. But none of them are preaching anymore, except the one they decided didn't belong. That wasn't easy. And what do? You come to church, you hear a couple messages, and you think you're equipped. It wasn't easy to have people that I did everything that I could to. Their kids used to pee on me every week on the bus. They're the ones that wanted to throw me out. It was not easy not to tell them what I thought of them. But you see, the Lord said, you got to learn this, Rube. You've got to learn how to handle it like Jesus did and say, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And it wasn't for a month or for a week. This was for years, my friend. And you come in here and in your stupidity, after 15 minutes of one sermon, you think you're appointed. Think back. Where's your trial? How do you know how you're going to do? Why would God call you and not subject you to what I got subjected to? Saul of Tarsus got knocked off his white horse, spent 14 years in Arabia before we saw his stupid face on the horizon again. Come back a changed man. Oh, but you got 13 minutes, you're ready. You know, you're not smart enough for me to classify you as dumb. It takes more intelligence than you have for you to realize that you don't know what the hell you're doing. You don't have enough intelligence to know that yet. Oh, one day you'll be scared zitless, and then maybe then you'll know. But let's get back to the subject. Try means to subject to trials or annoyance. You know what it teaches you? That no matter who it is and no matter what it is, you always turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't matter if it was my wife, my husband, my friends, my relatives, my children. It doesn't matter who it was. And they all took a shot at me. And some of them still do. If you don't believe it, one of you, get around one of my kids or some of my relatives. You don't have to know them from Adam. The first thing they'll start telling you is, I don't agree with him. Welcome to the club. Who cares? Well, God didn't do that because he was mad at me. He did that because he loved you. Amen. And he wasn't going to put some snot-nosed 90-day wonder who didn't know where the hell he was or what he was doing in charge of your soul, knowing that you were going to be an idiot time after time after time and be a subject of trial and annoyance. And he wasn't going to put some dummy in charge of you that was going to crack under the strain. He did it because he loved you, not because he hated me. Amen. Now, to subject yourself to this kind of trial and annoyance, chosen of God to be a preacher for the benefit of a whole congregation, is one thing, but it's not far removed from the trials and annoyances that you should be subjected to as a husband, which you're not even willing to do that. You want her to be your mommy. And you don't want trials and annoyance. The word try also means to subject to a severe test and a severe strain. To not really know where your next meal was coming from. Oh, I knew it was coming. I just didn't know where it was coming from. But I always knew where it was going. Yeah. Never lost sight of the reality of my position. So I just didn't worry about it. That's served me very well. When people come and become members of the church, become good tithers or good borrowers, and then threaten to quit because it's going to cost us something. I told one individual once who told me that. Where are you going? Well, I'm going to be commuting down. I said, well, here. It's $20. Let me finance. Let me help you. I don't want you to have a financial burden going. I wasn't mad at him. What I was really telling him, not only am I not upset or care about what we're going to lose financially if you leave, I'm going to give you more. I'm not going to be held up. Now, that didn't come because I was zapped with some magical fairy dust from heaven. This is the result of years of not knowing where it was coming from. But it was always there. finally developing the habit that he'd always be there. Regardless of who came and who went, he'd always be there. So now as a result, no matter how many of you come and go, he'll always be there. And you see, that's why you can't get me out of the position to help you. No matter how much you try, you can't do it. And again, he didn't subject me to this because he hated me, or because I deserved it, or because I was a bad boy. He did it because he loved you. And he knew what it was going to take for the love of God to continue to be shown through, regardless of what you did. And then you have your little petty squabbles with each other. And I say, you are chosen of God? What the hell would he want you for? You don't know the test. You don't, severe test? Your buns would explode. Well, why would he subject to a severe test or strain? The next definition of the word try means to test the operation or the effect of an action. In other words, God loves you so much, he says, I am not going to put you in charge of souls and let their life and their opinion of Jesus Christ be hanging in the balance until I see how you're going to do, boy. Let's see how you take it when it's your buns in the balance. If you can pass that trial, you can pass anyone. So he tested me out. Not that he didn't know. I didn't know I could do this. But you see, I always call on that reservoir because I can call back in my mind and say, thank you, Lord. You've already shown I can live through this and successfully, by the way. He didn't test me because he didn't know. He tested me so I could know. But somehow you still think the little sermonette and you give a little counselette to a little problemette and you think you've got it. Well, you've got it all right. We just don't seem to be in agreement what it is you've got. Try also means to experiment with. You know, there were times I would preach it and I believed it, but there were times I thought, how is this going to work? My God in heaven, I can't stand another day in this church by myself. I can't stand another day of waking up in the morning with from my knees down like I'd slept with a bunch of vampire bats. I mean, the bugs would just, and I never did understand what, just from the knees down. You play with that one for, I never did understand it. I'm convinced they were ringing a bell somewhere. They were coming. Santee bugs would come here. And we had a gourmet delight. I can remember one dear brother said, a man of God shouldn't live like this. And I thought, oh, thank God. Lord, thank you. An angel from heaven. You know what he did? He brought me some of that powder to spray for bugs. Hey. Better than nothing. So what I did, I sprayed or sprinkled a ring around the rosy there because I was told those bugs will not cross that stuff. That's great. So I did a ring around the rosy and I slept in the middle there. During the night, I had a call. Long distance, I had to answer that call. At least it was to my advantage. to answer the call, so I did. I got up and I walked to the restroom, forgot that the powder was there. So I walked in it, got it in the bottom of my feet. There happened to be a little moisture on the floor in the bathroom, and it got wet. I didn't think much about it. I mean, the conditions I was living in, that was nothing. Well, I went back and I laid down, and man, I started a hot foot. I mean, my feet were getting, what in the world is going on? And I started going like this, and I couldn't understand. I finally turned on the light, and my God, my feet, the bottom of my feet looked like they had been in a toaster in a microwave. It wasn't always easy. Then I graduated, and it really got nice. I thought, me being a man of God, and I certainly am passing. Thank you, Lord, I'm passing the test here. A brother came in and says, a man of God had not lived this way, brother. I know where you can get a job. I've already talked to them. They'll accept you. So about time. So I went to see the guy. What did he do? He handed me a mop and one of them wired things, and he told me to clean the toilet. And in his infinite wisdom, he's going to give me 50 whole dollars a week, 7 days a week, morning and night. Tote that barge and flush that toilet. That was, I thought, well, my God in heaven, what is all this about? Well, we're still experimenting. What do you think now of the ministry? Well, I thought it was going to be like Jimmy Swagger. I thought I was going to have nice big cars and gold watch and all that stuff. I thought, well, I didn't know this was a ministry. Yeah. You love me, Rube. Do you want to stay with it? Is this what you want to do? Don't misunderstand. It wasn't all bad. I remember getting up in the morning. My first thought is, I got to read. What am I going to learn today? Something new. And then I had that machine that to this day, I can't stand it, all day long, grinding. See, I had to make tapes, not with high-speed dubbing machines like some of you wimps now. I've got so much to do. You push it, but it's got the tape. No. I used to sit there and I just preached the message, and I had to make 20 copies of the same message on a tape that was no high speed to it. A 45-minute tape took 45 minutes. So what did I do? I listened to the same message 20 times a day while I'm studying. And then you come and say, hey, grief, it's 20 minutes already. I can listen to this stuff all day. I have. Why did he do that? Again, for love of you. You see, the church is changing, isn't it? It's about time for Jesus to come back on the scene again, bodily and literally. And he's preparing his people. And some of them want to do it, some don't. So he experimented. Try means to make an effort at and to attempt. Oh, yes, I know it's easy for those preachers that say, I've never touched alcohol. I married my high school. In fact, we were introduced by our parents in the crib at the hospital. And I've never had a thought about anyone but her. No lips have ever touched mine but hers. And my children, they never fight. There's no arguments in our home. Sure's a bunch of liars, though. But let's assume that abomination were true. How could that individual help you when you call him and say, my husband just came home high on dope, and my children just stole the teacher's wallet? And I got my eye on the janitor at the apartment complex. Huh? What would this sanctimonious, pious, lying preacher that's never made an effort at what you're dealing with, he'd say, oh my God, what shall we do? Really? Why, lips have never, I've never done that. What am I going to do? Well, you're going to wimp out, you liar. That's what you're going to do. You send them to me, I've done it all. I know what it's like to be an ass. I was one. And a better one than you ever thought of being. I'll out-ask you any day of the week and twice on Sunday. I don't make any bones about it. Collectively, you couldn't be the ass I can be. See, this has been determined by experiment. I know how to do this. I've made an effort at it. I know what you're up against. I've been there more than once. Also know how to get out of it, because I got out of it more than once. You can't lie to me about how you got in, and you can't lie to me about why you can't come out. You just can't lie to me, because I've been in and out. But some of you come in your infinite wisdom. And again, after 15 minutes, your clothes don't fit you anymore. Your shirts are tight. There's no room for the wings. Throw all your hats away. The halo's in the way. You don't even have any idea what it is to be chosen. You think it's some kind of thing that happens and you get slapped with some kind of magic fairy dust and life gets fine and everybody loves you and you spout out all these wonderful sayings and everybody just says, isn't he wonderful? Maybe at Disneyland it works that way. Not here it doesn't. The last definition of the word try means to find out to be true by a test. Yes, I had to have faith. Don't misunderstand. But you see, when I had to demonstrate the faith, it was when my buns were on the line, not yours. And let me tell you what's wrong with preachers nowadays. They're willing to experiment with your marriage and your life. And they'll say, well, it's not an act of faith if you take that medicine. Oh, no? How come when they're ball and chain, it sneezes, it takes her to the emergency right away? Oh, he's willing to experiment with faith as long as it's your kid and your wife and your family. No, I experimented with me. I know this works. I'm not telling you try it, I think, and if it doesn't, well, oh, sorry. I know this works. I was the guinea pig. God didn't send me to experiment with you. But see, you think you know and you haven't even experimented. You don't know if this works yet. Oh, but you're so willing to give advice. Because if it works or it doesn't work, it ain't gonna hurt you none. You haven't been chosen, friend. That's why you haven't been tried. And let me tell you something. And I'll be as honest with you as I can be. As a human being, a rational, thinking, but honest human being, sitting here, take away the spiritual things, the things that I've learned, but if I were to be asked as a human being, just from a rational point of view, without spiritual considerations, knowing now what I was going to have to go through, do you think I'd apply for this? You are crazy. And you say, you want this job. You fool, you don't know what it's like. That's why you want it. And incidentally, you'll never have it because you want it. And God has to choose you, not the other way around. Now, what's the purpose of selecting to try? The last part of the definition is to join. And join means to yoke together and to make into one. To enter into an association with. Go in business together, if you will. He pays my salary. He feeds me. He clothes me. He houses me. He pays for everything. Which of you can say that? And yeah, he does it through you. And as I said this morning, I could not exist if the Lord's inheritance financially didn't come through you. But somehow you think you can exist spiritually by excluding me. I'm glad I'm smarter than you and I don't exclude you. I'm glad we have a basket there. Praise the Lord and pass the basket. Because I want him to be in association with me. And that's why I don't care if you put money in or take it out. I know there's going to be enough. And if you take out more than you should, then you won't be here anymore to take any more out. It doesn't bother me. I don't have to be your watchdog. Join also means to become a member of. I chose him, I selected him, and I tried him so that he could become a member. What member? What is my membership with? I'm his mouth, that's all. Not his word, that's Jesus. I'm just his mouth. He just uses this to talk to you. And you ought to praise God every day of your life that he bypasses this when he uses this. Oh, you ought to thank God that he does an end sweep around my brain and my emotion. Because you all want to be the same member. Now the scripture tells us specifically, as it describes some horrible deformed mutation, it says, if all of us were an ear, then how could we see? And how could the nose say to the mouth, I have no need of you? Because if you had no nose, how could you smell? Don't take a shower, you're going to say, right? I know, straight line. So you see, all together we make up one body. Why you all want to be the mouth is beyond me. Maybe it's because you know you can't be, and as you try to be what you can't be, you can escape being what you should be. So as a result, God says, I chose him out of all the tribes. And I selected him in order to try him to ultimately join him. And without the trials, believe me, you will do absolutely no good. You're worthless as a minister unless you're chosen and tried. Now some would say, well, does that mean I have to suffer like you do in order to be a good husband? Only if you choose not to learn by my experience. See, Jesus suffered on the cross. All the sickness, all the disease, everything that's wrong with this world, he suffered it. Now, everybody that denies him as the mediator between God and man has to suffer it for themselves because they've rejected the mediator. Well, now all these things that we're talking about in this day-to-day world, we're not talking about manna from heaven, and we're not talking about Caesar trying to chop your buns. We're talking about how to make it in this world in El Cajon in 1990. What does it take to survive? I know, because I lived in this. So you see, you can either take my trials and benefit by them and not repeat them, or suffer your own. And everybody that rejects Jesus Christ as the mediator has to suffer what he suffered on the cross. And every one of you that rejects me as a mediator has to suffer what I suffered, needlessly, by the way. And why? Well, why would God put me through this if you had to go through it too? Well, that doesn't make any sense. The fact of the matter is, the Lord hath chosen me out of all the tribes here, all the personality possibilities to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. Which means I'm here for the duration.
Amen.
And I like what this forever means. You know what this forever means? It means I'm going to be a preacher in heaven too.
Amen.
Or it wouldn't be forever. It would say, he will minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons, until some future date.
Yeah.
It says forever. So you see, the sooner you find your calling, the sooner your forever starts. Now, some of you, it's going to take forever. It appears that it's going to take forever. But fortunately, we've got forever. Now, we've really talked about marriage here, haven't we? Why do you think God, in his infinite wisdom, in biblical times, the husband was always older and more experienced than the woman? Because he had been chosen for her. He'd been selected, and he'd been tried. And he knew how to earn a living. He knew how to live without mommy. He had already been broken the cord. He had sustained himself. He had lived already. But see, you ladies, you're stupid. You marry him right out of high school. You just rob him right from mommy, and now he needs another mommy. He ain't had time to be tried yet. So as a result, he experiments with you. I take heart. I'm not saying, well, does that mean there's no chance? No, I'm saying you can go through this. You can learn these things by my experience. Just sit here 4 hours a week and listen and learn. But ladies, you don't understand what it takes. You don't understand that this trial, this annoyance, this test, this strain, he's got to go through it. The problem is, you chose him before he could. And because you can't function with him now in the right relationship, because when this little sucker gets annoyed, he gets mean. So how do you protect yourself? You become mom. See, because he won't hit mom. He'll beat the hootie out of you, though. But not mom. So in self-protection, you become his mother. So he can't beat you. So now he has to go get a girlfriend, beat the hell out of her. And the beat goes on. See how stupid we are? See, even when I'm not trying, I've got it. You know what it boils down to? You also think you can choose your own wife, choose your own husband. You can't even choose your own underwear. It says Tuesday on it, and today's Sunday. I never did understand. Anybody so stupid they gotta have a calendar on their underwear has got a bigger problem than I can minister to here. So what's going to happen if you get in an accident and they rip your clothes off and it's Sunday and you got Tuesday's underwear? What, they fine you? What happens? I don't know. Just some stupid, nonsensical thing to take up time. That's all it is. And incidentally, that's why you won't listen. Because I've been chosen. I was selected, and I was tried, and I was joined. And again, not out of any preference for me. Not because of any particularly attractive quality that I possess, because he loved you. He isn't willing to put some greenhorn in charge of your soul, some little wimp that's going to run at the first sign of a difficulty. Or someone that's going to join with you, the biggest dummy in here, and agree with you. Amen. He needs someone to stand in your face and say, no. And by the way, hell no. And if you don't like it, We'll get another one just like you. Probably two of them. They certainly can't be any uglier than you. And maybe there'll be a benefit. Who knows? Can't do it. I thought I was going to get past. Oh, I wanted to get to tomorrow. No. This is too good.
Amen.
What we're going to have to do is we're going to have to put our brains on lock here. Because Sunday, no, wait a minute, maybe I can finish it Wednesday. If we don't finish this Wednesday, we're going to have to put your brains on, oh, it shouldn't be too hard. Your brain has been vapor locked for years anyway. There shouldn't be any problem. If we don't finish it Wednesday, we'll catch it the following Wednesday or Sunday night after the divorce ceremonies. We're going to have a good time. I love this job. Just love it. Oh, man, am I going to have fun Sunday. I hope lots of people come.
Yeah.
Ladies, you don't have to worry about preparing a lot of food. Appetites are not going to be at a premium, I suspect. Because I've been tried, and I know what you're up against. And I know what this marriage business is all about. And I know that whatever you marry, you become one with, and then you reproduce that one that you're one with. And then that wrong that you reproduce, you bring it to me, and you try to make me make a right out of your wrong. And you're going to find out Sunday the thing we have to do is divorce wrong and wrong so that right and right can unite in marriage and produce right. See, your problem is not who you're going to marry. Your problem is who you're not willing to divorce. That's your problem. You're going to find some interesting things. See, people, when they get married, it's easy. You reproduce whatever you are. Cats bring cats, dogs bring dogs, and our famous elephants have more elephants. See, so when people get married wrong and wrong, as soon as the honeymoon's over, which is every bit of 15 minutes, they will call and they will say, something is wrong. Now, you know, I've never had, see, and it's characteristic, wrong marries wrong, so they produce wrong. Now, you know, no one ever calls me to ask me how to produce wrong. I've never had a call yet where someone called me and said, brother, my wife and I are trying to decide how we can get our child to poop his pants and smear it on the wall for it once a day. Which generally like, we don't know how to accomplish that. Could you help us with that? It just comes natural, doesn't it? See, wrong marries wrong and produces wrong. I've never had anybody call me and ask me how can they make something in their marriage go wrong. Well, why is that not necessary? Because wrong married wrong, and when wrong mates with wrong, it produces wrong. You don't need my help. You've got it made. But see, what you want to do is you want to continue to mate wrong with wrong, then you bring me the wrong and say, do something about that. Well, how? As wrong and wrong is going to mate and bring another one, uglier than the one we're dealing with now. So what's the answer? Go back and realize, what is it in you that married what in him that's producing this? Oh, now all of a sudden you don't want to talk anymore, because what you want is you wanted Cupid to shoot you in the behind with an arrow. And you wanted violin music, and you wanted to be romantic, and you want to think of, oh, love is wonderful. And you want a cake with a little doll on top with a little black suit on, and a little doll with a little white dress on. And you think that's marriage, and that's wonderful. And you want a preacher that's going to sit here and say, oh, God so loves the institution of marriage. I have no desire to live in an institution. And they tell you all these stupid things. Well, we're going to undo those myths. And if I'm not careful, I'm going to preach the message tonight. We're going to undo all that stuff. And I suspect at the end of the service, when I ask, is there anyone else in here who wants to be divorced? I'm hoping we have a good response. There's a lot of people in here. You don't need to make your marriage right. You need a divorce is what you need. We got to do it again the right way. Your marriage vows stink. You stink. Your marriage stinks. Your stink stinks. I don't deal with symptoms. If you're not interested in the cause, you're in the wrong place. You see, when I was chosen whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not. That's just the way it be, friend. And I have no more ability or desire to change that fact than you do. Now, if I was chosen to be here, and I'm here whether I like it or not, this is my place, what the hell makes you think it's optional with you? The day you're not in your place here that God gave you, then you're in the place someone else gave you, and there will only be two someones. So if you're not in the place God put you, then guess where you're at? In the place the devil put you. And that's just the way that it is. You need to understand this idea of chosen and being chosen isn't something that you and I can play with. This is just the way that it is. And if you think you can change it, try it. Many have tried it before you, and none have succeeded, and none will. I think you'd be a lot smarter to just get with the program and understand where you're at and why, where I'm at and why. I'm here to serve you, not the other way around. You're here to support me. So that I can serve you. I'd be making your flapjacks in the morning. I'd be cleaning your house. Pig pen that it is. You have the dirtiest temple. And I just come in and dust and clean and spray and steam and laser it. Ajax. SOS. It's a filthy place. You have some bad, bad habits. But I know because I've been there. That's why you can't fool me. Because every one of these attributes you had, I've been through that. I know what it's like. I was there. And I was tried. And I fought the law. And the law won. You haven't got a chance. Brother Sherman, would you close the service in prayer?